Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. God present with us. God acting, God saving, God working, God serving. You have all learned who really does all the work when we gather around the Word and sacraments. God is the agent, the doer, and He does salvation to us. You already know that. You also already know that it doesn't always seem that way. Usually it seems as if we're doing all the work. Just ask my kids, who don't especially like to work at all. After all, we come to the worship service. We pray, we sing, we listen, we sit and stand and stand and sit. And we give. That's what it looks and feels like. We're usually a little tired after a long Sunday service, maybe even tired in a self-satisfied kind of way. And that's why we are always tempted to think that our participation in the worship service is the only serious good work that's going on. But we forget that what seems to be and what actually is are two different things. We forget that there is a greater reality underneath everything that we see and that we hear. We forget that there is a lot that is hidden, which will one day be revealed. Now, I don't think that ancient Israel always had the same problem when they worshipped in the tabernacle. Consider the worship service described in Leviticus chapter 9, for example. Aaron and his sons, as newly consecrated priests, led the people in worship. And at first, it looks like they are doing all the work. The chapter details how they prepared bulls and rams and kids and goats and lambs for various offerings in order to make atonement for themselves and for all the people. The preparations were exceedingly complicated. We might be tempted to label them as serious good works. But when they were done, and when all the preparations were made, the hidden became revealed, so to speak. The text says that the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and that's probably a reference to that pillar of cloud. And Moses then says that fire came out from before the Lord and burnt up the offerings that were on that altar. Now, I dare say that no one was asleep at that point in the service. Everyone saw that the Lord was present and very active. In the fire and in the offerings, the people knew that atonement had been made for them and that their sins had been forgiven. There at the tabernacle, surrounding the smoke and the fire and the blood of the sacrifices, Yahweh brought the assurance of His presence and His salvation to His people. They saw it with their own eyes. And Moses says that when they saw it, they fell down with a shout. No longer thinking, I'm sure, about all the work that the priests had done, overcome instead by Yahweh's good work and His incredible grace towards them. Now, it should be noted that near the end of this worship service, Aaron blesses the people. And most scholars suggest that the blessing, he said, was the words of our text for today. After all, it's not called the Aaronic benediction for nothing. What a worship service that must have been to see God in action like that. And what a way to end the service as well. What a worship service to actually see God in action. That service, of course, anticipates another divine service. Another time people saw God in action like that, namely in the person and work of Christ. Remember, as John says, Jesus tabernacled among us, and in Him we saw the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He was the holy high priest who does not need to offer up sacrifices for himself or for anyone else, because He did that once and for all when He sacrificed Himself. Christ the victim, Christ the priest. And as the author of Hebrews says, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, ascending back up into heaven, Luke writes that Christ lifted up his hands and blessed his disciples. Again, it is rather interesting to note that Martin Luther suggests that the blessing Christ said on that day was once again the words of our text. Now, we have no way of knowing that for sure, of course. But it would certainly be appropriate, were it true, that the great high priest who became the Lamb of God at the end of his service blesses the people like Aaron blessed Israel. After all, he is the fulfillment of the tabernacle and the sacrifices and everything connected with it. At any rate, we have to admit that it is quite a divine service that Christ rendered to us on the cross. He was truly God in action, doing salvation to us. And today, even though we live in an age in which we walk by faith and not by sight, we are still confident that in Christ, God continues to render his divine service to us. Underneath what we hear and see, God is doing a marvelous work among us. In baptism, remember, he actually raises the dead to life. In the Eucharist, Christ's body and blood are truly present, bringing us forgiveness and nurturing and strengthening our faith. Paschal victim, paschal bread. We gather around the word and sacrament like Israel gathered around their altar because here God himself is present. And here we learn that God actually sacrificed himself and spared us. It is God's incredible work which banishes all thought of merit on our part. It should bring us to our knees with shouts and songs of joy. Our response to the great thing God has done for us. And so it is fitting, you see, that at the end of the divine service, we too close with Aaron's blessing. The same words that Aaron spoke at the tabernacle. Centuries later, we speak here. In a sense, this blessing links us with the tabernacle and with Israel. When we hear it, we are reminded that all the promises that God made in connection with the tabernacle have been fulfilled in Christ and are given to us in the word that we have just heard proclaimed. God's divine service to Israel and his divine service to us are not radically disconnected, but rather connected. And the link is Christ. Following the salvation that God brings his people in the divine service for both Israel and us, we both receive the blessing. And so it links us with God's people in the past. But the blessing also serves as a bridge to the future. It is a bridge from the divine service in the sanctuary to life outside. Notice that Yahweh attaches a promise to the blessing. And so they will put my name on Israel, and I will bless them, he says. That is future-oriented. And so you see, the blessing functions not so much as a pious wish, but surprisingly, as a promise. For the sake of Christ, the Christ just proclaimed in the service, we can be assured that God is favorably disposed to us. He will not hide his face from us, but instead will continue now and always to pour his grace upon us and to give us his peace until all that is hidden becomes revealed. You see, that is great assurance as we prepare to depart from the worship service and to go back to our daily lives. We go with this blessing upon us, and we know that whatever happens, what we have received from the Lord is reality, grace, salvation, peace.